going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I respect that we don't agree. Listen to both sides.
This,
let's get it on,
is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
Hey, welcome in on the 25th day of April. Mark Cox here, along with Kim St. Ange and Ethan Bright in studio with us this morning. We got Drew Young helping us out, and of course, Sue Thomas with your traffic. I may have missed it. I don't think we've got any huge delays, although the roads are wet and there's still a bit of rain falling. Looks like most of this front is moving out. I don't do the weather, but I can look at the radar, and I'm hopeful that it's at least the air is going to be dry for our event with the Eureka Chamber of Commerce this morning, which is a fundraiser, and it always helps out the folks down there. So
raise your hand if you're tired of the rain. Oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
I am, but, you know, we've had a couple days break. That was nice, and now we're going to have grass up to our mid-calf.
Another reason why we're tired of the rain.
I know. There's no doubt that's coming. We are happy the Blues won. That was good news, and they just need to duplicate that again. They could have saved a couple of those goals and applied them to Sunday. You should be able to borrow a couple of those and just apply them because you had so many more than you needed last night.
That would be nice.
It's true. I don't know. I don't know anything about hockey, so yell at me later. But I'm just glad they won because we love seeing them in the playoffs. It's exciting for St. Louis. It ought to be a big weekend because Sunday they'll be playing again. And I think it's at noon, right?
Noon, yeah. Noon? Not this late.
Is there
start.
A Cardinals game, home game? Didn't Tom
yes,
say this weekend?
Yes, they're playing the Brewers, and they have games tomorrow. Well, tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday.
Yes.
And the Battlehawks are at home tomorrow, cities away. So it'll be another big sports weekend in St. Louis.
Well, that's good. Just out of interest, Ethan, I'll do a little bit of behind-the-scenes stuff on the air here. I'm getting messages still about audio problems, either on Odyssey and or Facebook. Do you know anything that
we're trying to make sure it doesn't get us kicked off Facebook, so we're trying something, but it might okay. be affecting something else. So
all right, so
doing it here.
We're working on that. We did get bumped off of social media earlier because we were playing. So I got to pick the bump music this morning, of course, because I won Real or Fake this week. And we got kicked off because of some Van Halen that we played for a little too long. The people on Facebook, they just have no sense of humor. And they think you're cheating the artist somehow, even though we pay licensing fees down here as a radio station. So good luck getting a hold of somebody. Good luck speaking to a human being at Facebook ever to talk about anything. They just don't deal with you. There's no public service number. There's no customer relations number. There's no nothing. So when that happens, we just have to restart the feed, and we apologize for that. We are up on all the socials, to the best of my knowledge, YouTube and Rumble and X and Facebook. We try to keep that rolling for you in the morning. You can always download the podcast if you missed anything. Go back and hit the rewind button on the Odyssey app, whatever it takes, and we'll get you covered. Coming up, Jim Carafano, a couple things going on this morning. First, in Ukraine, some breaking news. There was an explosion in the middle of Moscow a few minutes ago, or at least earlier today, and they believe somebody blew up a car and killed one of the big leading generals in this war against Ukraine. So I don't know what that does to peace talks. I don't know what the bombing of Kyiv does to peace talks, because that apparently happened yesterday. So we're going to get Jim's take on the whole thing coming up in just a couple of minutes. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk to Brian Cantell. He's a senior partner and a political analyst, continuing to look at the new information we're finding out about the, and I'm doing air quotes here, Maryland man. I think a Florida man every time I hear that. but the Maryland, so-called Maryland man, who's now residing back in his actual home country of El Salvador, where he belongs. We're finding out more and more about some of his background when he was here, and we will get to Brian on that for you coming up at the bottom of the hour. All right, right now, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Did you see the Trump 28 hats?
That's the service
hats
they provide.
You know, can you imagine? He put these hats, they say 28 on it.
That's what
that helps him, right? Look at these crazy left-wingers. They're going crazy about the 2028 hats, right? And that's the goal.
That's it.
To that extent, it works.
It does work. Have you gotten your Trump 2028 hat yet, Kim, for your favorite Trump supporter? Talk about trolling him. Donald Trump is not going to run for president again in 2028. But just the mere suggestion of it is enough to drive liberals off a cliff. And they've done it again successfully.
Well, Greenland's going to be interesting. I think we need that for international peace.
What are you expecting of your
and if you
audience?
Don't have that, I think it's a big threat to our world.
Yeah, that's right. That's the president. He's talking about what's going on here with Greenland. It's kind of been out of the headlines, but he's still interested in turning that into Orange Land, I think.
St. Louis University's president Fred Pestello joins more than 300 higher education presidents in a letter condemning the Trump administration.
Condemning them because they're afraid they're going to lose a few dollars. And of course, what are they trying to do? They're trying to scare you as to what will happen if private schools like St. Louis University aren't getting public tax dollars to conduct research, because they might have to tap into their very large endowments instead.
And with breaking news, federal agents have raided the home of a former magistrate judge in Las Cruces, have also arrested his wife. Hello.
Yeah, how about that story? Down in New Mexico, this judge, the feds have gone in. They arrested his wife, who apparently, I don't know if this guy was gardening for them, and she got to know him.
He was staying in the casita, right?
Found out he was needed a place to stay, invited him to stay on their property. Meanwhile, her husband is actually a judge. And then this dude invited two of his friends to stay there, too, because he figured he'd found a sucker. And when word spread that they were gang members, Tren de Aragua gang members, staying at the home of a judge, well, that kind of changed things a little bit, because then the Fed stepped in.
I mean, it's like when you give a pigeon food, you know, one pigeon comes and then the other pigeons see the food and then you're just getting flocked. I mean, it wouldn't have been long before he'd have the whole gang from TDA staying at his house.
Wow. Yeah. Listen to just a few of the details. First, they thought there was just one, and then they discovered there were two more.
Let's get to that video from earlier. It's the moment Homeland Security investigators place Cano and his wife, Nancy, into handcuffs. Again, they're both facing charges of evidence tampering at this moment. HSI telling me they could face additional charges as the investigation continues. As we've reported, investigators say the couple hosted Christian Ortega Lopez, who is an undocumented migrant from Venezuela. We are working to get the identity of the other two gentlemen.
Yeah, the other two gentlemen who were also residing at the property and also believed to be members of the Tren de Aragua gang. Wow.
I saw the video of them getting arrested. Can I ask a silly question? So the president has the power to appoint these judges, right? If there's a vacancy.
It depends. This guy was not a federal judge, was he?
No, I thought he was a federal judge.
Oh, I thought he was a state judge in New Mexico. I could be wrong. But you're right. The president would generally, depending on the level of the court, the administration would have some say if there was an opening. Yes.
Because I guess my question would be, I mean, we've seen so many issues with these judges where they're clearly so biased. We've seen that, I mean, time and again with you know, Obama-appointed judges and Biden-appointed judges. I'm sure the Democrats feel the same way about any conservative-appointed judge. But is there another way to do this where you might be able to not have to deal with that as much?
Well, I mean, I don't know what
election or something where it would better odds of them not being so biased.
Remember when it wasn't supposed to be political? Wasn't supposed to be political.
Well, it is, and that's the thing. The can of worms is like,
and
it's open.
It's open, but even if you turned it on to elections or turned it over to the people, then the millions of dollars would be spent on partisan judge races. I don't know what the answer is.
There's got to be something. But by the way, he was a county. It says county magistrate judge.
So county magistrate.
I was wrong. For some reason, I was thinking he was a federal judge.
There you go. All right. Coming up, we'll get to Jim Carafano in a few minutes, and then we'll find out his reaction to this bombing this morning of a Russian general and what it does to ongoing peace negotiations in Ukraine. We'll be back.
The Mark Cox Morning Show
on 97.1 FM Talk.
But he did say there was a deal and that he was sending his envoy, Steve Witkoff, to meet with Vladimir Putin Friday in Russia. Is that meeting still happening? And should we expect a deal this week?
Well, you don't trust the word of the President of the United States?
I was asking your president's word. What will he tell the U.S. envoy?
We continue our contacts with the American side on the situation in Ukraine. There are several signs that we are moving in the right direction. First of all, because President Trump is probably the only leader on earth who recognized the need to address the root causes of this situation.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
All right, we've got Jim Carafano with us from the Heritage Foundation this morning. Jim, how are you?
Yeah, where we know how to deal with Russians.
Exactly.
In the South Bronx. That's where they invented it.
What do you think's going on here? I heard there was a bombing in downtown Moscow this morning of some Russian general.
Jeez, I'm so sad. So sad.
I know.
That's terrible. So, you know, the guys that invaded the country and murdered a bunch of innocent people and are bloodless dorks got whacked. My heart bleeds for them. Not. I've often said that the problem with all of us following this is, you know, first of all, Donald Trump is dealing with a country which has been psychologically traumatized and been at war for years and is worried about their very existence and seeing innocent people killed every day. And on the other side, guys that, you know, Al Pacino would not want to deal with. I mean, like, the mafia would be scared to talk to these guys. And we treat this like we're walking into the ballpark, and after the third pitch, we want to know what's the final score. And it just doesn't work that way. It is a very, very messy negotiation. And the thing is, I think we all know where we're going to end up, which is essentially they're going to come up with some kind of deal which just acknowledges what the status quo is. And that's going to kind of be it. And they're both going to take a break.
Yeah. You know, I wondered yesterday, I heard that there was a question about whether or not Vladimir Zelensky would concede that he's not going to get Crimea back. I mean, that was 11 years ago when they took Crimea. If that's not a foregone conclusion at this point, I'm not sure what would be.
Well, it's not a foregone conclusion and that Crimea will always be occupied by Russia, but it's a reality that it is, as is parts of Georgia today and Moldova, and half of Germany was not free to join the other half of Germany for many, many decades.
Right.
So there's a difference between acknowledging the reality of the situation and agreeing, as West Germany did in the 1950s, that they would not try to retake their own country by force, which is a difficult but I think necessary decision, and formally transferring sovereignty of the territory to the Russians, which that is not in the cards. Nobody's going to sign up for that.
No. No,
even if you do sign up for it, it's kind of like, that's ridiculous because you could withdraw it tomorrow. It's a meaningless concession, really, because, you know, it's true. Possession is 9/10 of the law.
I love your point that it's like walking into a ball game in the third inning and demanding to know the final score. He's got so many chess pieces on the board right now, including now what direct talks with Iran. How do you feel about that?
Sure. Look, the biggest mistake you cannot say that's not the Donald Trump I want. Because you're only going to get the Donald Trump you have, right?
Yes.
And the other thing is I wake up every morning and I say, you know what? Maybe he does things some days that I disagree with, but I do a mental picture in my head that said Kamala Harris could be president. How does that work out for you? Trump's MO with everybody except terrorists is to offer them an off-ramp. He did this in the business world. We don't have to go to court. We don't have to have a fight. We can do a deal. And if the deal protects my equities and you get something out of it, fine.
I mean, he walked into a mess.
You want to go to the mattress is great. So it's in Trump's DNA to offer the Iranians a deal, but I'm not like super optimistic we're going to get anything out of it.
You think about everything going on with Russia and Ukraine. That's been going on for years. You think about everything going on with Israel and Hamas. You think about Iran and how they unfroze, was it $6 billion in assets or something like that? I mean, that was what crazy. Donald Trump walked into as president for this term.
Absolutely. I mean, for some idiot, I don't want to mention names, but his name's Hal Brands. I wouldn't mention what think tank they work for, but it's AEI. And he said, Trump has six wars and he's losing. Well, this is nonsense. Trump doesn't have any wars. He didn't start any of these things. He was not the arsonist running around and lighting all these fires. And what he's actually trying to do is have innocent people stop. And this is true in every one of these situations. Find a way to let the innocent people not die. Not a bad idea. Protect America's interests. Not a bad idea. And don't overextend yourself. So by intervening, you're actually making yourself worse off than when you started. Now, if this is the hallmark of a deranged madman, then, fine.
Yeah.
But this is the most sensible leadership that we've had in the White House since Ronald Reagan. I'm sorry. And nobody else is even coming close. But I got to tell you, I go all over the world. All I hear is the Trump derangement stuff, the most crazy, wacky, crazy things in the universe. And people need to have a little humility, a little self-reflection, a deep breath, and a little empathy.
Yes.
With the challenges that this guy is facing in trying to make the world better and safer and more prosperous, not just for us, but for everybody in the world who has a decent soul.
Jim, it's a great point, my friend. Have a good weekend, and always great having you on. Thank you.
Thank you. You're the best.
All right. We'll talk again soon. J.J. Carafano there with Heritage. We're back in just a minute. Stay tuned.
Mark Cox.
Y'all ready?
Find everything Mark Cox at 971talk.com/Cox.
Well, I was born in a town on the base of the Mississippi.
The Trump administration abducted and imprisoned
a Maryland man.
The growing calls to return the Maryland man.
That Maryland man.
The Maryland man.
The wrongful deportation of a Maryland man to El Salvador.
He is, of course, the Maryland man now held in El Salvador.
He is a Maryland man, apparently, according to the national media. I believe the Media Research Council did a study on this, and they found that the mainstream media had mentioned the word Maryland man like 250 times more than they bothered to mention the Rachel Moren case, where she was murdered by an illegal alien. But this guy is suddenly, this El Salvadorian citizen, is apparently a Maryland man, just so you know that, in case you have any questions in your mind. We got Brian Cattell with us this morning, who's an analyst and a senior partner at CLP Strategies. Brian, good morning.
Good morning.
We continue to find out new things about this so-called Maryland man, don't we?
We do, yeah. There's a lot of information coming out, and it doesn't look good for him. He's not the best example of a Maryland man, I think you could say.
Yeah, I don't understand quite why they've sort of latched onto this as an example. And I know that I think the administration has admitted they made an error in sending him specifically to El Salvador, but not in the deportation side of it. He could legally be deported.
Yes, that's right. The Democrats are making a due process argument that this guy should have had. There should have been more hearings. He should have had more opportunities for evidence to be introduced. He did have something called temporary protected status. So he did enter illegally, but a judge at some point said that he could stay here pending an ongoing asylum hearing and that he would be in danger in El Salvador. So they've latched on to that. Now, the Trump administration argues this is a national security issue. Yeah, our prerogative as the executive branch trumps, no pun intended, trumps these due process arguments. It trumps this idea that someone can stay around for months or years and have endless hearings. And that is what's being applied to hundreds and thousands, now thousands of people who are seen as a safety risk. It isn't fair, Trump administration argues, to everyday Americans to allow these people here a day longer, because they're, as we know with the Rachel Moren case and many other tragic cases, there is a risk of keeping these people around.
Well, I'm just amazed at how it's been played here. You know, I don't know, maybe you can give me a more global perspective on this, or maybe not, but the polls here show that Americans are generally satisfied with Donald Trump's attempts to get rid of people who are here illegally in this country. I think it's probably an 80-20 balance. It's an 80-20 issue. The people that are arguing in favor of this guy are on the losing 20% end of that argument, and they don't realize it, or they see some long-term political strategy here for the midterms.
Yeah, I think it's politically a mistake. There's no doubt about it. Particularly when you have the economy, where there are legitimate questions about economic policy. What are we doing with tariffs? Why does the policy keep changing? What's the impact going to be on inflation and jobs? Many Americans are more concerned about that. That certainly isn't an 80-20 issue. But this is, right? The Democrats are arguing quite a narrow legal point, which I think to some extent is important. Due process is the general principle which a lot of people do believe in. But they believe in it above all for American citizens, not for people who are here illegally. It's a much harder argument to make. And then the optics of it are that you're seen supporting someone who has all these problematic behaviors, who came here illegally, and around whom there's very strong evidence that there are some ties to gangs. So it's not a winning argument for the Democrats. There's no doubt about that.
It's funny because Fox News has a headline saying that Democrats are blaming the Lake and Riley Act for the rise in these migrant, detentions. It's crazy. Like you said, it's a losing argument. And it's interesting if they're thinking that this is going to help them for midterms, because it seems like it's going to have the opposite effect. It doesn't make sense to me. I mean, how are we not giving these illegals due process?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think it's the echo chamber. This often happens. You know, the Democrats are shell-shocked. I think they're still coming to terms with the defeat in November, and there isn't a clear leader and then the, of their party. And the people and the most prominent voices are to the left of most Americans. They are the Bernie Sanders and the Alexandra Ocasio-Cortezes and others. And so this argument in favor of giving Abrego Garcia due process plays very well in certain Democrat circles, but it doesn't play very well across the broad swathes of Americans. And I think some Democrats can see that, but obviously some of the people that are getting in the news who are flying to El Salvador to meet Abrego Garcia, they can't see it.
No, they certainly can't. Brian is our guest here from CLP Strategies. I'm sorry. You guys help advise, I'm reading your bio page here, a lot of Wall Street firms. Are you getting any feedback from them on the tariffs and the impacts on the market?
Yeah, a little. I think people are, I think there are concerns because obviously we've seen the wild fluctuations in the market, you know, which we haven't seen for a while. And folks on Wall Street do start to worry about that. They worry about certainty, right? So they want to have a good sense of what economic policy is going to be. And right now, there are lots of question marks. What are tariffs on China going to be next week? We don't really know. What are they going to be on our allies? And there are concerns, of course, about a recession that trade policy could cause a recession. I think that, yeah, there is some openness to the longer term argument about rebalancing trade. But I think in the shorter term, and we all know Wall Street can be very short term.
Yes.
There are worries.
Yeah, that is very true. Brian Cattell, thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks so much.
Absolutely. And always interesting to get a sort of an outside a look at that. He's studied at Oxford and has advised a lot of really big companies in America.
Read the bottom of his bio. Do you see about the languages he speaks? So clearly speaks English. It says, according to his bio, he also speaks German, French, Spanish, Czech, and Russian.
I know.
Is that all?
It's like Melania Trump speak.
Oh,
I think he might be rivaling Melania in the number of languages, right?
It was impressive, though, when I was interning at Reuters. I was living in Belgium over a summer when I was in college, and it was the standard for everybody to speak 3, 4, 5 languages. Like, it wasn't impressive. If I spoke 3 languages, I'd be impressed with myself. But these people will speak 5 languages, and it's no big deal.
They just move
it's
in
expected.
And out of them. Belgium is on my bucket list.
Oh, it's pretty great.
They have the best beer ever.
They have fantastic beer. They have, oh my gosh, these fries, their frites. Oh my gosh, you would just go get it and they wrap it in the paper cone and you just carry it around. They have all these amazing sauces. And I'm not even a big oyster person, but it's mussels, but they call moules and frites. And you'd get like a bucket of mussels with a beer and fries. It was like €9 or something like that. Oh, everything. Oh my God. We'd get I had a class one day a week. And now I'm going down a rabbit hole. You've only yourself to blame. And we'd get a fresh baguette and just eat the baguette on the way to class.
Oh,
it was
my
just
gosh.
So good.
Yeah, it sounds delicious. Now we're all hungry again. Thank you, Kim.
No, what thank
we,
you, Mark.
What are we talking about in Kim on a Whim?
Have you guys seen what's going on Yale University's campus? It's nuts. It's gotten violent with these crazy, I say pro-Hamas. They all say pro-Palestine. I'm calling them pro-Hamas, pro-terrorists, protesters who are blocking some of these Jewish students from going to class, throwing things at them. I want to talk about that. It's getting out of hand.
We'll talk about it coming up.
The Mark Cox Morning Show
on 97.1 FM Talk. Kim on a Whim.
It has been really, by the way, disheartening to see what's been going on the campus of Yale University. This is basically a flashback to what happened Columbia University, where it was very violent and they were screaming at these Jewish students and preventing them from going to class. Listen to what was happening the other day as these Jewish students were trying to go to a lecture on Yale's campus.
To the sea,
from the river to the sea,
Palestine will be free.
Palestine will be free.
Isn't that crazy? They're screaming shame from the river to the sea. Palestine will be free. They were throwing water bottles, trying to block these students from even getting to class.
Yeah, I watched the video of when the kids walked through. There are a couple things. When I watch this, it makes me want to take these Yale University officials by the shoulders and shake them violently, mm-hmm. and say, if you had a group of LGBTQ students being treated this way, if you had a group of black students being treated this way, if you had a group of, you know, foreign exchange students from, I don't know, pick the country, Africa, Asia, being treated this way, you would hire extra police or bring in campus security, and you would shut that crap down mm-hmm. yesterday.
I know.
And they tolerate it.
I know. Just this week, Yale revoked the status of this registered pro-Palestinian student group this
yes.
week, saying it flagrantly violated the rules. Well, finally, this has been going on for how long? Obviously, it's ramped up on Yale's campus in particular, but it's about time. Now, if you're a registered student group on campus, that would mean funding, right? So they're basically saying, we're going to pour money into this group for you to be violent. They had the Israeli national security minister there this week on Yale's campus, and they were throwing water bottles at him. They were trying to block him from getting out of the vehicle. I mean, it was just dozens and dozens of these protesters who were shouting at him and screaming at him. And like I said, throwing water bottles at him. This all started really Tuesday night, it sounds like, is when this really took off. But then they were just harassing all these students. I mean, I've been reading articles interviewing students from Harvard, Jewish students specifically from Harvard and Yale, and they're all in support of what Donald Trump is doing to threaten, at least, to pull the funding. Why should you be getting taxpayer dollars if you're not shutting this type of behavior down?
It's a legitimate question. It's the reason you've got people like Fred Pistello suddenly nervous about their, many billion-dollar endowment, and out of fear they're going to have to tap into it at some mm-hmm. point, because they've been living on the public dole for a long time now. It's like the USAID stuff. It's all this other stuff where for years this situation existed and people were willing to look the other way, and there was never a pressure point like this where you needed – this is a perfect – storm for these universities. It's the perfect storm. They've been getting away with this for years, and suddenly you've got somebody who intends to make them stop doing a particular activity, and they found the pressure point. The pressure point is you survive off the public dole despite your $1 billion plus in endowments. Mm-hmm. We're going to cut that off. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to act like a civil organization and you're going to allow this sort of violence and hatred aimed toward one group, a Jewish students who happened to be there to try to get an education. We're not going to support that with public money anymore. Shame on them. Shame on Fred Pistello and all of these university leaders. It's a First Amendment issue. Well, no, it's not. Universities don't have a First Amendment right. Human beings have a First Amendment right. Mm-hmm. Citizens have a First Amendment right. You don't have your government doesn't have a First Amendment right.
Well, I mean, you talk about this all the time, Mark, and I think it's an important thing to consider when you're talking about a situation where it relates to, in this case, Jewish students. Let's just talk about, okay, what if this were LGBTQ students and they were talking about, because from the river to the sea involves wiping out the Jews, okay? So imagine yelling at gay people or whatever and basically suggesting that you want them wiped off the face of the
yes.
earth. You would never have the same people who were saying First Amendment rights, you should be able to say this, da 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 da, it's protected speech, yeah. are the same people who would be screaming that this behavior was allowed against LGBTQ people, saying that this was not protected. So it's frustrating and so sad for me to see these students who are paying tens of thousands of dollars, or the parents are, to have them go to these prestigious schools, and they're fearful about walking to a lecture, walking to class. I mean, it's ridiculous. And so many more people I've heard, particularly conservatives, have said, you know, is it really worth even sending my kid
Would
to college?
You want to?
Would you want to? You're indoctrinated. This is what you might have to be dealing with. For what? To go into tens of thousands of dollars worth of debt? I mean, there's so many other options now with these trade schools. some jobs, I mean, yeah, it's great to have a good resume, but some jobs are just saying, hey, can you do the job? Are you trainable? Do you have a good attitude? You obviously, if you're going to be doing surgeries, you need to have the training or a pilot or things like that. But, well, and that'd be separate schooling. But point being, there are certain jobs where you need that. But there are plenty of other ones where you don't have to have that degree.
This is long overdue. And again, you know, I heard this Bhatia Unger Sargon say something similar yesterday on the tariffs. The reason people are in a little bit of shock, the left is certainly in shock over it. Unfortunately, a lot of weak-kneed people on the right are in shock over it. You've never had a president with the guts to stand up and do it. Mm-hmm. You've never had a president with the guts to fight the trade imbalance. And because politically it's damaging, as he acknowledged. And you've never had one willing to stand up for Israel in this way. And they're shocked. They don't know what to do. That's great music. Play that a little louder there. Thank you.
You can turn that down, Ethan.
Ethan. That's fantastic. A little shocking. That's okay, though. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk to Missouri Senator David Gregory. We are down to the deadline here. Are we going to get a fix to Amendment 3 or not? We're going to get to the senator at about 8:08. Stay tuned.